WTAW News Time is 5 minutes after 8. It's 70 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast. Coming up after the news, brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, your one-stop steel supply store on Highway 21 East in Bryan. Go to pioneerboys.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. A $1.3 million capital improvement and community awareness campaign is underway at Twin City Mission.
There's an increase in homelessness, there's an increase in domestic violence, there's an increase in the need for resale services, and there's an increase in the need for counseling services. And some of our facilities are somewhat worn, in need of repair.
Campaign Chairman Steve Vaughn says improvements are planned at Phoebe's Home, a shelter for victims of domestic violence and their families, along with the Bridge Homeless Shelter. The campaign will pay off the remaining debt when the Bridge moved to its current location 9 years ago. Vaughn says the awareness campaign promotes all of Twin City Mission services, including those targeting youths and families.
We've got a program called the STAR Program, Service to At-Risk Youth. They do counseling to at-risk youth in several counties around the community.
More information about the campaign is online at twincitymission.org. The George H.W. Bush Presidential Library Foundation has announced all five former living presidents will be attending a hurricane relief concert at Reed Arena 2 weeks from Saturday night.
George Herbert Walker Bush is beyond moved that his fellow former presidents would rally to the flag like this and come together, putting politics off to the side. This is going to be light on speeches and heavy on great entertainment.
Bush family spokesman Jim McGrath says the former president has personal relationships with some of the artists.
Some of the entertainers like Alabama and Lyle Lovett are old friends, and Yolanda Adams, for that matter, unbelievable gospel singer. But he's also looking forward to seeing some of our younger talent coming along. Stephanie Quayle, I know, is going to be there. Cassidy Pope. So it's just an unbelievably strong lineup.
Ticket information for the One America Appeal concert is online at WTAW.com. On the 141st birthday of Texas A&M comes word of another semester of record enrollment. The fall number at all A&M locations is 68,625. In College Station, the number is 63,293. That's an increase of almost 4% or an additional 2,300 students. The overall increase nearly matches the gain in undergraduate students. Officials note that A&M continues to have 1/4 of its freshman class as the first in their families to attend college. Online at WTAW.com is a link that breaks down A&M's fall enrollment by other categories. College Station police received 6 more reports of vehicle burglaries, raising the running total since last Friday to 29. 5 from Tuesday included 3 vehicles parked off Marion Pugh between Luther and George Bush. 2 more were parked off Southwest Parkway between Welburn and Welsh. Additionally, Tuesday's update from CSPD included a 9th break-in involving a vehicle that was parked off Holloman East near the intersection of Dartmouth by Wolfpin Creek Park. Bryan police report 2 brothers were shot to death inside their home Tuesday night. An unknown number of suspects are being sought in the deaths of 25-year-old Dominique Franklin and 35-year-old Tarrant Franklin. A 61-year-old man who was visiting the Franklins was also shot. He was taken to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Officer Kelly McKeith then was asked who investigators are considering as suspects and who are the victims.
I don't want to say that they're all victims or all suspects or any of that because it's just too early to tell right now what happened.
Who fired shots?
At this point, we don't have all that information yet.
BPD has labeled the shooting on Frankfort Street in the Castle Heights neighborhood as a capital murder case. It did not take long for lawmakers to politicize Sunday's mass shooting in Las Vegas, where a gunman opened fire on an outdoor concert, killing 58 people and wounding more than 500.
One side of the aisle has just jumped up and down and said, okay, this is proof we've got to have gun control. My side of the aisle is saying, hey, let's continue to focus on the issue. Murder's already illegal in this country. And so this guy was a murderer. We need to figure out what was going on in his head. This is probably a mental health issue.
But Congressman Bill Flores of Bryan on our show says there is a Democratic proposal he's supporting, the proposal to ban a special accessory known as a bump stock, which allows legal semi-automatic guns to mimic an automatic weapon.
I don't see a reason for the average gun owner to have a bump stock that allows his or her guns to behave as if they're automatic. And I think we can do that and still protect the Second Amendment.
Flores says he was not aware of what a bump stock was before Sunday's massacre. The education for Bryan's first-year mayor continues. Andrew Nelson's visit on our show this week was from a Texas Municipal League function in Houston.
As I understand it, they provide professional assistance and services to cities for best practices for city government, thinking specifically about our state.
Nelson describes the Houston meeting as a wonderful opportunity to learn best practices for cities in Texas. WTAW News Time is 10 minutes after 8. It's 70 degrees. You can be part of the show this morning at 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe. One more look at your local news headlines at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Rebert, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
As the Brazos Valley's largest supplier of metal building components, pipe, and steel, Pioneer stocks a complete line of metal building and carport packages, from structural framework like I-beam and square tubing to sheet metal, trim packages, roll-up doors, and insulation. Pioneer is your one-stop shop. Metal buildings and carports are Pioneer Steel's specialty. Pioneer Steel, Highway 21 East. Call 979-589-2333 or on the web at pioneerboys.com.
Howdy, this is John Jarvis with ASAP Equipment. When we decided to open up the area's only locally owned compact construction and outdoor power store, we decided to carry top quality USA-made products such as Steel, Gravely, Boxer, ASV, and Gale. So whether you need a chainsaw, line trimmer, commercial mower, or a dirt moving machine, we've got your American-made product here at ASAP Equipment. We're at 730 Peach Creek Cutoff, south of the racetrack. Call 979-353-0911 or visit us at asapequip.com.
Let's do some weather, shall we? It's brought to you this morning by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981. With two-way radios and paging service, call Skyline Communications at 775-2929.
Partial sun in the forecast for today. It's going to be warm, and it stays warm as we head into the Columbus Day weekend. Temperatures will be 85 to 90. We'll keep a watch on Tropical Depression number 16, but right now it looks like it's going to be passing off to our east. Tonight, clear, 65 to 70. Sunshine returns tomorrow, highs 85 to 90. There'll be more sun during the day on Saturday, and highs are going to range from 85 to 90. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
It's 8:12. So, Zach, we talked about how they're going to change the National Basketball Association All-Star Team selection process.
Yeah, it's no longer going to be East versus West.
So team captains get to pick at their own choice.
Boy, that is just, yeah, I don't care.
Weird. Nobody cares.
Now, but are they going to televise it?
Sure. Yes, going to televise it.
Not the game. I'm talking about the selection.
I imagine.
It's like Recess, where you like have team captains and you're picking sides.
Somebody's got to get picked last.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yep. But, I mean, who carries the NBA? Is that NBC?
I want to say NBC TNT. Broadcast the it might very well be TNT that broadcasts the All-Star game. I'd never watched the All-Star game. It's a slam dunk contest. Slam dunk contest the night before, but then the All-Star game, that's basically what it is. It's like 180 to 150 is the final score.
But they have to televise the selection because, you know, they've got to, quote, break it down, end quote. Where did we ever get that term? Let's break it down. We're going to break down this game, this team, this whatever. Okay.
I mean, you're taking one large thing and splitting it into many little parts.
Okay. Have a focus group on it. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. Anyway, so that ought to be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That'll increase viewership, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
According to a new study, moms can reduce the likelihood of their children developing a peanut allergy if they will eat peanuts.
Okay.
Peanut products while breastfeeding. So there. You can continue to eat your Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay, so wait, repeat that.
According to a new study, moms can reduce the likelihood of their children developing a peanut allergy if they will eat peanut products while breastfeeding.
Okay, I always find this interesting. I had a friend in grad school who was allergic to a lot of things, peanuts included. And so when his mother got pregnant with his little sister, she avoided all of the things that Matthew was allergic to, and his sister had no allergies. Which I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought what you just said in the study, you know, you almost like build this like immune system because you're, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason in that situation, it kind of worked the opposite way.
Sure, because when my first two kids had allergy problems, that's when we tested them,
found
out what they were allergic to. Then those things were introduced through injections that we'd give them twice a week. And, you know, within a year and a half, those allergies were not there anymore.
Well, so, I've heard of almond milk. I've never heard of peanut milk.
No.
So this is a new one.
I don't think that'd work. I'm not sure. Peanut milk? Just go with, stick with the Reese's peanut butter cups. It'll be fine. It'll just
Now, how much peanut butter is actually in a Reese's peanut butter cup?
And is it really, and it's not
Is it
good,
real peanut butter?
Well, and it's not good peanut butter. Even if it is real, it's not good.
That brings up the age-old question, Scott. We'll have a segue. Crunchy versus creamy.
Oh, there's no. It's creamy all the way.
Creamy.
I love crunchy.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
what does that mean? That makes sense.
You know.
She would like the crunchy.
She would like the crunchy peanut butter.
I like the creamy, though, too.
But I mean,
I eat almond butter now, though. I don't even eat peanut butter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's
upsetting,
too.
What does almond butter taste like?
Like almonds.
Oh, okay.
So what's the dairy? Is it supposed to be healthier for you?
It is. Yeah, correct.
And, well, it has less sugar maybe?
Yeah, so actually HEB does a just like raw almond butter.
Okay.
All it is crushed up almonds.
Okay.
And that one's a little weird for some people to get used to. But there are several products out there on the shelves that are almond butter, and some of them are honey flavored and different, you know, there's different things. And those tend to be a little bit more smoother and creamier.
This whole, you know, and you get into this whole
there
natural.
There are so many nut butters. Oh, my gosh.
You do this
crazy
natural peanut butter thing, and then it separates on you.
Yep. And so almond butter can be the same way. Not all of them. Again, it just depends on the brand that you buy. I've also tried sun butter, which is sunflower seed butter.
What?
Yep. Oh. And it's really good. It has a consistency that resembles peanut butter.
It sounds so weird, though.
That sounds expensive.
Sun butter, a little bit. You know, sunflower seeds really aren't that bad. Almond butter can get to be expensive. So can cashew butter.
Wow.
Yeah. So many butters.
Yeah.
You know, almonds is only what you call it when it's on the tree. When it's on the ground, you call them almonds.
What?
Because when it falls off the tree, it knocks the L out of them. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
That's what Zach has brought to the show. We have East Texas humor now.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag East Texas humor.
So now, I mean, how much of this butter stuff do you buy?
Okay, so not that much.
I mean, like a...
Because it's still high in fat. It's good fats. But basically, when I started eating, paleo, most people have heard of paleo. Peanuts are not paleo because of the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids or whatever. I know, I won't get too in-depth
right? I'm already lost.
Anyway,
Zach,
so peanuts...
Zach, she's eating ants.
Right.
Yeah,
she's eating ants.
She's doing paleo. She's eating ants and twigs.
No, but anyway, peanut butter and peanuts are not paleo. Therefore, if you want something to replace it, you've got to go with like the almond butter or the sun butter. So that's when I started getting into it. And I just, you know, I developed I like it.
Okay.
It's like going paleo is just spitting Louis Pasteur in the face. I mean, just saying, we don't care what you did to give us this great product like cheese.
Yeah.
So now, do you keep it in the refrigerator?
You can. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You do, or you can, yeah.
Okay, and so you come home and it's like a butter bar.
So like the HEB, just they're raw. I mean, you like grind it yourself and it comes out in this little tub. Yeah, you've seen it.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to keep that in the fridge, but it stays fresher longer, like most products if you do. And theirs doesn't separate. Theirs is pretty good at just, you know, staying the same consistency the whole time.
Well, and you often wonder, because I'm going to figure that all the big guys, the Jiffs and the Peter Pans and those folks have probably changed their recipe over time. As long as it still ends up having the same taste and the same consistency, then people don't complain too much.
True.
But it would be interesting to go back and see exactly what that stuff was 50 years ago and what it is now.
But I will say, you know, although I do like some of the other butters, peanut butter still reigns king.
Oh, yeah.
It does. 100%.
And have you tried them with, like, jelly? Have you tried them making, like, a...
Yeah.
Yeah, almond butter jelly sandwich?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, bread isn't on paleo either, Zach. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Okay.
Right, but
cheese
yeah, no,
and, no cheese and
but
bread.
But no, I've done almond butter and jelly sandwiches, and it's fine. Yeah, it's good. But peanut butter, I mean, this is the kid coming from the kid who took Oreos in a jar of peanut butter and just sat there and dipped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who got
the crumbs in my peanut
butter,
right? I miss
those days.
Yeah. I know. You can't do that
anymore.
That
is not paleo.
But the deal is that, do you remember back in the day, they did peanut butter and jelly mixed in the same jar?
Oh, yes.
And it
Smuckers came out with
that. Is that it? Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think we had Bama.
Okay. They might have done it too. But yeah, Smuckers did the swirl jar.
And as a result, you ended up with really bad quality jelly and
exactly.
bad quality
peanut butter.
And you didn't get it to the, I mean, you know how you want it.
Right. Plus, exactly. Some people love a lot of peanut butter and a little bit of jelly or vice versa or even. But the jar just screws it up.
Or if I'm really hungry, what I'll do is I'll put peanut butter on one slice of bread. I'll put jelly on top of another slice of bread. Put that on top of the peanut butter slice.
The triple layer
peanut butter jelly sandwich.
You got to have milk.
Oh, yeah. Gotta wash that bad boy down.
I'm sorry, you have
almond milk?
Oh, well, that'd be fine, but you must have some beverage or that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not
stick into the roof of your mouth.
Well, if you're not hungry for peanut butter, this could fix it. In an effort to keep kids from getting their hands on drug-laced candy, Colorado will no longer allow retailers to sell weed edibles that are shaped like animals, fruits, or humans, including artistic, caricature, or cartoon renderings. So no more weed gummy bears in Colorado.
Yeah, I could see that being an issue.
I've heard
the peach rings can be quite deadly.
Geometric shapes and fruit flavors are fine, however, but you can't do the gummies.
As much sugar as those kids are, it might be good to mellow them out a little bit, you know?
Until they eat six of them.
Yeah, and then they'll just get hungry and just eat all of it.
Caller.
And if you want a really non-juicy piece of bread, you put peanut butter on both pieces of bread and jelly in between, and it seals the jelly.
Okay,
that's you just, you know, you really can't go wrong with a PB&J.
No,
it's very few ways to screw that one up.
Yep.
Pretty basic stuff. Okay, especially when it's wrapped in plastic and you don't know how old it is.
Now, yeah.
Apple has gone viral with facial recognition in its iPhone 10. Researchers think their new cardiac scan authentication system is even better, though. On a computer, rather than logging in with a password or pressing a finger to a reader, the system passively and continuously scans a user's heart and lungs.
Until it stops your pacemaker.
Yeah. Perfect. The individual, then that way, like when they leave the desk or whatever, then they continue to monitor the cardiac scan authentication system, which was developed by researchers at SUNY Buffalo and Texas Tech University.
Hey,
they developed something there. Uses
they
a,
developed something there
uses a Doppler radar to analyze a user's cardiac motion, which is unique to each individual, and measures the dimensions of the heart in its contracted and relaxed states. Cardiac motion is harder to spoof than your fingerprint or iris identifiers because it's only present in a person who is alive.
Okay.
This is just a way for the machines to figure out our weaknesses. If they know you have a weak heart, that's how they know best way to take you out.
They could be and again, that radar could be sending a message.
Yeah.
If you're not a healthy person, it's not going to help you out any. So we've learned today, we have Google doing their wireless buds that will translate. You think. I'm the kid who never thought Captain Kangaroo was saying the true word to me, okay? Yeah, I know you guys didn't watch Captain Kangaroo.
I know who got. He was a former Marine, wasn't he? I guess once a Marine, always a Marine.
Could have been, yeah. But Captain Kangaroo would hold a word up, and he'd say, this word is such and such. Well, I was always suspicious. I wasn't sure.
Huh.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
It's like if he points at the TV and says, oven.
Right.
See? I know.
Okay.
I probably should not worry about that. All right, that's fine. In the meantime, guess what happens when you've got a tiger and you forget the cage? You forget to lock the cage. Well, the tiger escapes. And that's what happened in China on Monday. A 2-year-old jungle cat had just finished performing in a circus in a rural area. The keeper forgot to latch the cage. Police had to be called out to track down the escaped animal. It was on the loose for about an hour before it was safely returned to its enclosure. Nobody hurt. Cops gave the folks a stern warning. And how about this? A fox steals a piece of pizza from a guy's car. Man was, this is like Pizza Rat, except it's with a car and it's a fox, which means like nothing like it at all. The man was working on a nearby rooftop when he spotted this sneaky little critter enter the car. That's where the guy had left his pizza, which had been he had planned to eat for lunch. Unfortunately, the man too far away to stop the fox. All he could do was shoot video of the crime. The man admits, I had to go hungry for the rest of the day. But he's got a great video.
Foxes are smart, man.
Hey, you know, I forgot to ask you, Zach, what's the deal with these young ladies, these MLS players misbehaving in the world's
happiest
place? Yeah,
there wasn't a lot of details with that story.
So I read a story, I guess, that ESPN had put out about this a couple of days ago. And apparently Morgan was there with several other players, even some men's players that were at this restaurant. And apparently they got into some kind of argument, I guess, with some folks around, nothing specific as to what it was. And they got in some arguments, I guess, with some other patrons that were there at the restaurant. And
well, there was a four-word phrase in here that caught my eye.
Oh.
8-hour drinking binge.
That'll do it.
They were in that part of the park.
But I don't know. But it said, yeah, they were arguing with fellow park goers.
Okay.
And also with a sheriff's deputy.
Yikes.
Probably not a good thing.
But who goes to Epcot to go get...
I don't know. You live in Orlando. Yeah, it's not like you're just visiting and you really wanted to go to Disney World and drink.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're not famous. Like, people aren't going to recognize you. Alex Morgan is one of the most recognizable faces because she has a very nice one.
Because she's pretty. Yeah, and she's an Olympian.
Right. And people recognize who she is.
Yep.
But, I mean, at least Hope Solo wasn't there because no telling what would have happened.
Well, there could have been fisticuffs. Yeah. But you're right. If you live in Orlando, it's not like you're thinking of all the places I want to go.
Go get wasted is Disney World.
Let's go to Epcot Center and see double. All right, 827.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Fed Chair Janet Yellen says the Fed is committed to making sure that the regulations it imposes on the nation's community banks are not unduly burdensome, underscoring her potential flexibility on post-crisis financial regulation as President Trump weighs whether to nominate her for a second term. Another high-power fundraiser for hurricane relief efforts, this one, will feature five former presidents: Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Jimmy Carter will be the headliners at a special concert October 21st at Texas A&M's Reed Arena. And the former commanders-in-chief will be joined by bands and musicians, including the Gatlin Brothers and Lyle Lovett. SeaWorld Entertainment shares surged after hours following a report that the owner of Legoland had approached the troubled water park operator about a sale. But the New York Post reports that Merlin's Entertainment is interested in just parts of SeaWorld, and a split of the water park by venue may not be possible. That's Your Money Now.
Stocks are soaring, and construction spending across America has been on the rise. If you've been waiting to build, the time is now. Whether you want to expand your business or you want to build a new garage, call General Steel today. Our metal buildings are custom designed for your needs. For example, a 40 by 60 is a great space for an auto shop or a three-car garage. And if you call General Steel today, it's on sale now for under $25,000. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
I have some auditing and forecasting for you two robo-accountants. Can you have it done Friday?
We never sleep, Mike.
Or take breaks, or sick days.
It's official. Robots have entered the world of accounting, and certified management accountants have mastered the 11 most critical practice areas in business, which means they'll be the ones calling the shots.
So then you'll have it done Wednesday.
No, Friday.
We need a couple of days to get in the zone.
Friday.
The CMA certification. You've got to earn it. Visit CMAcertification.org for details.
The family of a California man who was killed in the Barcelona terrorist attack filed a lawsuit this week, claiming that Google, Facebook, and Twitter played a major role in the murder of their father, raising the question, should social media be held accountable for terrorism? Kim Commando with your Thursday Consumer Tech Update. The latest lawsuit says that for years, Google, Facebook, and Twitter knowingly and recklessly provided ISIS with online accounts to spread propaganda, to raise money, and recruit new terrorists. No one can deny that charge. Social media has a dismal record in taking down terrorist accounts. They say that their staff is overwhelmed, but these are billion-dollar companies. The argument won't fly. There are similar lawsuits, the Orlando nightclub shooting, San Bernardino, and Paris, All of them hinge on U.S. law giving victims ways to go after people and organizations that provide support to terrorist activities against the United States. Now, let's see if our laws really do protect us. And our tech news is updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O.
Why just listen to the Kim Komando Show when there's so much more? Why not watch the whole show in high definition on your phone, tablet, or television?
This is so cool because you're so nice.
Or download the podcast in crystal clear digital audio. Watch or listen on your schedule, driving, exercising, or relaxing.
I have been following you for years, and you've made me pretty much the genius.
But Kim's Club is so much more. You also get security and data breach alerts, priority calling into the Kim Komando Show.
My favorite digital goddess. I'm so glad I get to talk to you.
And Kim's Club offers discounts for everyone over 50, former and current military, and all service personnel. It's never been more affordable to be a Kim's Club member. So stay up to date the easy and fun way, because these days you can't know too much about technology.
And it's like you're our friend on the radio, and I just think it's awesome.
Go now to club.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O, club.commando.com.
The Kim Komando Show is brought to you by TexasKubotaDealers.com. Visit TexasKubotaDealers.com for the Kubota dealer nearest you.
WTAW News Time is 8:31. It's 70 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Signature Care Emergency Center. Treating children and adults by board-certified physicians 24/7. For medical care and emergency room needs, your care is our signature. Visit ercare24.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Our country's five former living presidents will be together in Aggieland later this month, attending a concert at Reed Arena to support hurricane relief.
It's going to be a really historic evening, but it's also going to be a fun evening. And again, we want to emphasize that every dollar that is spent on tickets is going to hurricane relief. We've got some very generous underwriters that have made that possible.
Jim McGrath is the family spokesman for George H.W. Bush, who with his wife are planning to attend the October 21st concert.
See, he's beyond tickled. He's just so happy it's come together like this because he knows it's going to help a lot of people.
Ticket information for the One America Appeal concert is online at WTAW.com. Twin City Mission has launched a $1.3 million capital improvement plan. Chairman Steve Vaughn says there is also an awareness component to the campaign to educate the community that Twin City does more than serve the homeless.
Another one of our divisions is called Phoebe's Home. It's our domestic violence service. A lot of people are aware of Phoebe's Home in our community, but they're not aware that that's actually a service that's provided by the Twin City Mission.
The campaign goes towards improvements at Phoebe's Home and the Bridge Homeless Shelter, along with paying off the remaining debt when the Bridge moved to its current location 9 years ago. More information is online at twincitymission.org. Record enrollment continues at Texas A&M. On the flagship campus, fall numbers total 63,293. That's an additional 2,300 students compared to last year. One-fourth of the freshman class continues to be the first in their families to attend college. At all A&M campuses, the total number is more than 68,000. A link that breaks down fall enrollment at A&M is online at WTAW.com. Multiple suspects are being sought in what Bryan police have labeled a capital murder of two brothers. 25-year-old Dominique Franklin and 35-year-old Tarrant Franklin were shot and killed inside their home on Frankfort Street in the Castle Heights neighborhood off Highway 21 and east of the freeway. Officer Kelly McKeithen, who said they're looking for an unknown number of suspects, did not disclose what prompted the shooting.
Unfortunately, because it is an ongoing investigation, we can't release anything that we do find.
A 61-year-old man visiting the Franklins was also shot. He was taken to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. While Bryan is among the fastest-growing cities in Texas, Mayor Andrew Nelson looks forward to learning more while attending his first Texas Municipal League function.
Well, I'm planning to listen and network, and I'll have more to report when I get done, but I'm certainly excited about this opportunity.
Nelson's visit on our show this week was from the TML event in Houston.
This is really targeted for Texas, and I think it's just an absolute wonderful opportunity for us to be able to get information, to learn about best practices focused on Texas.
The TML meeting followed a trip Nelson took over the summer to a national meeting of mayors in San Francisco. WTAW News Time is 8:34. It's 70 degrees. You can text us any time of the day. That text line is 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by Signature Care Emergency Center. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
When you or your loved ones need emergency medical care fast, remember Signature Care Emergency Centers. We're available 24 hours a day to deliver on-demand and the most reliable care for you. Our experienced nurses and board-certified physicians have years of unmatched experience. Our state-of-the-art facilities will get you the most effective treatment, period. Plus, we accept all major private insurance carriers for your convenience. For more, call 213-5728 or click ercare24.com. Signature Care Emergency Center, located on Texas Avenue South, across from Kohl's.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on WTAW, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Subway, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtor, Cherry Rufino Realtors, and Team Ford of Navasota.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
It's time for the Brazos Valley Fair, October 20th through the 22nd. There's fun for all ages with a carnival, rodeo, shopping, and awesome concerts, including a Saturday performance by the Disney Channel star Sabrina Carpenter, Friday headliner Kevin Fowler, and Sunday stars La Energia Norteña. Exciting rodeo action and a carnival plus awesome concerts and so much more. Only at the Brazos Valley Fair, October 20th through the 22nd. Visit BrazosValleyFair.com for details or call 979-821-1450.
836, let's do some weather, shall we? It's brought to you this morning by the folks at Malik, your AC and heating experts. Learn about club memberships for year-round discounts on service and repairs at malikservice.com. Malik, making a difference. Here we go.
Early October warmth continues into the upcoming weekend as high pressure gets a chance to build across the area. Tropical depression number 16 should pass to our east and head inland over the Gulf Coast of Louisiana or Florida as a tropical storm. Of sun and clouds day, we're 85 to 90, clear overnight 65 to 70. Partly to mostly sunny, 85 to 90 tomorrow. Sunshine, 85 to 90 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you go. Leah's here this morning from the Humane Society. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So, guys, I had an assignment, right? Didn't we talk about something earlier this week?
Yeah.
We talked about raccoons. By the way, we had a texter text in, I guess, a couple of days ago, said they had a pet raccoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Named Rocky.
That's what it was, is that Zach was saying that he had this neighbor who walks a raccoon on a leash.
Yeah, is that legal, Leah?
Have you ever had one brought in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so raccoons, skunks, and bats are our number one rabies carrier here
Perfect.
In Brazos County.
Perfect.
Sweet. Yeah.
Great. Great, got that going for us.
And so there are some stipulations about them being kept as pets.
Oh.
And then if they come in, if they're caught in traps by the county or the city or something like that.
You never know who's watching. The infomaniacs.
Right. Yeah. So, real risk of rabies right there, folks.
Okay.
And bats. So bats are really common. They end up in your house. If you don't know how long they've been in your house, you call animal control, make sure it's going for testing.
Yeah.
Because you will not know if a bat bit you. Their bites are so small.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh. Now, but, I mean, you could raise, I mean, I guess they can be domesticated?
And when I was a kid in the 80s, we had a pet raccoon for a summer. We found him in our barn.
Okay.
He was an adult. He was hanging out with a cat. We didn't really keep him contained, but he hung around.
Yeah.
And then we made sure he went towards a tree in the woods in the winter and hibernated. Right. And yes, also called him Rocky.
But I guess they can be social as long as you don't mess with them.
From what I understand, yeah. Right. But there's permits required if you're going to have one, any wild animal for that matter. You do have to have a permit if you're going to have one. Or even chickens in city limits for that matter as well.
All right. So, so there you go, Zach. I mean, I don't know where we want to go with that.
So he better keep it inside.
At least we know. All right. All right, with that in mind, what else is going on?
Oh, well, we've actually seen an uptick in skunks here lately.
Really?
So keep your due diligence out about that, not only because of the smell, but then again, they're a primary rabies carrier in this county as well. Yep. So, yeah, we've seen lots of them.
Okay, lately. And we're, less than 3 weeks away from Wienerfest,
yes.
Huh?
Wienerfest, it's almost here, so we're right in the thick of planning on that, but you still have plenty of time to sign up your pet For the costume contest, the dachshund races, if it's a dachshund, or the wannabe wieners for any non-dachshund type of dog that wants to run in a race. Mm-hmm. We'll have boot camp the night before on October 21st. That is Saturday, because Wienerfest itself has been moved to Sunday. That'll be October 22nd. And the boot camp is free to come out and get your dog kind of a couple of practice races, just to see if they understand what direction to be going in, and at least it's not a whole brand new thing on Sunday mid-afternoon when you actually take to the boxes.
That'll be fun. Be lots of vendors there and stuff like
that. It will be. And I understand you're still coming out to our dachshund announcing.
Yep.
So we have lots of stuff going on, lots of vendors, food trucks, kids zone area as well. So a lot of fun out at Wolf Pen Creek. Again, it's free to attend. If you're just going to participate in a race, you will just need to pay for that race to participate in. And then we'll also have a lot of, like I said, a lot of different vendors out there. We're hoping to have our new mobile spay neuter unit out there also. Because it is a surgical unit, you won't be able to get to tour the inside,
okay.
But maybe we can get some large photos of the inside done or something like that. But so it's going to be a lot of fun out there at Wolf Pen Creek on October 22nd.
Okay, anything else we need to touch on today?
We have Bark Leaders is in full forward movement right now, and that's the campaign for your dog to become the Alpha, Senior, or Junior Bark Leader, and those winners will be announced at Wienerfest. So go to our website, check them out, vote for your favorite. The pet that raises the most money will be crowned Alpha Bark Leader.
Okay. There was some more information about all that.
Go to our website, aggielandhumane.org.
All right. Thanks a bunch. Visit with folks from Aggieland Humane on Thursdays, and also from the city of Bryan. And Kayla's here this morning. How are you today?
We're doing all right. How are you, Scott?
Good, good. You brought a guest with you today.
Of course. I have Mr. Jason Barfneck. He is actually our public works director, so that means he oversees a whole lot.
A whole lot of stuff,
Whole lot of stuff. Yeah, he's going to share a little bit about that.
Great, we'll dive into that. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Morning, sir. Doing well.
Thanks for coming back to visit with us this morning. You cover a whole lot of stuff with Public Works. Why don't we start with, why are my streets torn up and where they're going to get fixed? Now, there's been a lot of work done on South College, and I haven't, quite honestly, haven't been by there in about 2 weeks. But between like where Bryan Lake is and back toward
Sulphur Springs.
Yeah, Sulphur Springs. You had big equipment in there tearing that stuff up. Now, where are we with that process?
We're about 20% done. We're moving the utilities, BTUs in there. You have most of the utilities to put underground. The other utilities, Verizon, Frontier, also putting their stuff underground. And we're going to redo the roadway from Villa Maria up to Sulphur Springs. It'll be a new street. The new sidewalks, water and sewers being put in as well. So a lot of those utilities are going in now, so then we can finish the road and redo the top surface.
What's our timeline kind of looking like on that particular project?
We're probably another 6 months out, probably, to get finished.
So it'll be a while. Now, you mentioned Frontier, and I know there had been a few disputes about who's going to do what. Can you tell me how that all got worked out?
Well, I don't think it's worked out totally right now.
Okay.
It's still ongoing. We have several projects in which we were trying to move facilities, not just because we want them underground, but just because there's not any real estate for those poles to exist in the right-of-way. One of those projects is St. Joseph's improvements around 29th and Villa Maria. We still have some poles there with wires on them. BTU has moved their facilities. We need to get those poles out of the way so that we can then open the road and complete that project, but we have those utilities on those poles, and until they relocate into the conduits, then we can't move those poles. So,
yeah, if you're trying to turn right onto Franciscan Drive off East 29, you can't, because there's basically a pole in the middle of the road right there. Now, does that also, is Suddenlink involved in some of that too?
Suddenlink is involved, but they seem to be more cooperative than Frontier is right now. So we had some communication last week. I think there's some discussions about an agreement to be done, and then we still haven't worked out on who's paying for what to. Right now, we're paying to put the conduits in. We have on the St. Joseph job, and we are for the Villa Maria job, just because we needed to move that project down the road and get it advanced and moving it along because the street was coming. So contractors putting that in, we're paying for that now. We had expect Frontier to reimburse us for that, but hadn't decided if we're just going to go ahead and eat that cost and have them utilize those conduits, or we'll seek reimbursement for it.
Sure. Talk a little bit about extending University Drive East, because that's going to come back around. You're going to have a big development over on the east side.
Yeah, so right now we're constructing the roadway. If you look at there, where 158 University ties in right now, you can look to the east and see there's divided roadway. They've poured the concrete up to that intersection. We're about 40% done on that project. So when that gets done, that will be kind of the one of the entrances into Oakmont and to some adjacent property that landowner there owns that's not associated with Oakmont, but that would be able to be developed, whether it's a commercial or residential or mixed use.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the shared situation that you have because of the ILA and the development that Stylecraft was doing. That's kind of an interesting situation where the cities are trying to work together.
You're talking about the annexation of Stylecraft out Highway 30?
Right.
Yeah, so back in 2009-10 time frame, the city of Bryan was looking to develop some property that we had on the west side. And then in conjunction with that, we had sewer infrastructure or sewer needs on the east side. College Station had sewer needs on the west side. And so we ended up doing an interlocal agreement where the two cities are sharing some tax revenue on the west side. In exchange, City of Bryan is providing sewer service on the west side, and College Station is providing sewer service on the east side. So for the new Randy French Stylecraft development, College Station has the CCN currently to provide the sewer service over there on that side of town.
Okay. Now, and while we talk about cities kind of working together, I know that, of course, you oversee water in Bryan, and there had been a presentation to College Station City Council that they were looking kind of at maybe Gibbons Creek being a possibility for them, even though it's a surface water project. And, of course, Bryan is part of a consortium that owns that facility over there. So tell us how that's progressing and what part that played.
So that that presentation actually and that discussion actually originated in Bryan. So with our representation on that TMPA board, with the TMPA board looking to try to do something with that property, they had put it out, advertised it to try to sell it a couple of times. And during that process, I talking with Keene Register, city manager, said, you know, it'd be nice if maybe we could work something out with TMPA to get a portion of that lake or the water that was in there, get some rights to it. And so I reached out not only College Station but some other water utilities around to see if there was any interest. And so, you know, there's still discussions. I don't know if TMPA is going to do anything with selling that or if they're going to keep it, but we were just looking at this area to try to diversify the water supply, going from, you know, solely groundwater to something that may be on the surface water side.
Sure. Talk to us a little bit about solid waste. That's something that you oversee and where we happen to be on those projects and what our capacity is looking like.
Well, you know, the landfill kind of a separate entity that both cities are partners in, and Brian Griesbach and his staff does a very good job in managing that that operation. And we got a lot of capacity. They're building another cell now. They actually were cooperative with the two local police departments and, you know, having them build a firing range out there for their use. And as far as the solid waste goes, I mean, we, you know, encourage everybody to recycle as most you can. City of Bryan is looking to possibly do, while we have the one centralized recycling center, we're looking to possibly offer a curbside recycling. But when you look at the tonnage that we do at the centralized recycling center, you know, it does a lot of recycling compared to what
People are trained to a certain extent.
They are.
That it's interesting because you've taken a different approach than College Station did in that we'll put this together if you'll just bring it to us.
Right.
And again, it's well-staffed, very efficient way to
and
do it.
And it's open to commercial entities. You know, they can drop stuff off as well, so it's just not the residential. But then, you know, they can get a credit back on their bill if they bring their bill. So.
Sure. Now, we're talking with Jason Barfnick, who's Director of Public Works. Being able to have a development plan in place is important, and tweaking it every once in a while is an important thing, too. And I'm sure I'd like to get your thoughts on getting that nailed down so that you really understand where the city wants to be going so you can be headed that way using the least amount of energy.
Yeah, it's important, especially on the utility side, to know where growth is going to happen. The comp plan is very useful for that, so we kind of know what the land use is going to be. And we've got several projects going on now on the west side of town, out Highway 47 and Highway 21. We're extending infrastructure out that way. We've got the Rellis campus that is looking to develop. They've already started buildings, and they're going to look to grow that campus. So we expect on that Highway 47 corridor for in Bryan for there to be a lot of growth in that area. So we have a large waterline project that we have under design now. We're looking to expand our wastewater capacity as far as expanding it up in that area so that the large vacant land tracts out there can be developed and Bryan can grow on the west side. A lot of the focus in the past is, while you have Traditions and some of the others, we've had a lot of growth on the east side. But we don't really have the infrastructure, especially on the water and the sewer side, to expand where it wouldn't be a significant capital investment by a landowner to extend that infrastructure. So we're trying to be out there and put that in so that they can then tie onto it and develop their property.
One of the other things that we discussed before, of course, the rain problem we had June a year ago. We had a lot of rain that the city took on. It didn't cause really too many problems, but it still brings up the question of easements and backyards, being able to get into areas that need to be cleaned up. Do you see what's the future of that as far as Bryan's concerned?
Well, I think that's going to be a policy discussion coming up. It continues to be discussed with the Castle Heights topic. And, you know, there are a lot of areas whenever the subdivisions were built, whether it's in Castle Heights that wasn't in the city when it was built and then later annexed, or in other parts of Bryan that were there whenever it was developed. But for whatever reason, the city's policy was not to accept easements or get easements. And maybe it was a negotiation between the developer at the time and the city that said, I really don't want to give you easement, because if I give you easement, I'll have to improve this creek, and I really don't want to do that at expense. So I'll maintain it, or we'll just keep it private. And it will come down to, a policy discussion. You know, right now we have minimal staff to maintain the drainage system. If we start accepting easements, which it sounds easy, well, I'll just give you an easement. Well, you give me an easement, and then, you know, everybody then will want us to maintain all the easements, all the creeks, and, you know, it's a burden for other residents that don't have that, then they will be paying for the city to then come in and maintain those. And whenever people go and buy their property, they know whether there's an easement there or not. So they should be, buyer beware, they should know what they're buying and whether there's an easement and if it's going to be their responsibility to maintain it or not.
Yeah, you're taking on a lot of equipment, a lot of personnel to
it is, and you have a lot of erosion issues. It's just not, you know, the capacity of the creek, but then it's, you know, you get these large rains and the dirt starts being eroded, and then residents start losing some of their backyard.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, if the city has an easement, then it's, well, the city needs to come back and reestablish, you know, the yard that I had before. Mm-hmm. And it's never-ending battle when you start getting into those things.
Policy change. Anything we didn't touch on this morning you want to share with our audience?
Well, I do just want to touch on one thing. Y'all had quite a bit of airtime a month or so back about these gateway signs that the city's looking at.
Right.
And do just want to say that we're looking at two signs, both on Highway 6, and the total cost for those are about $470,000, and that includes the design for those. So it's not $1.4 million or close to $1 million, but if you could drive around the state, you see communities that have these entrance signs, and we want to do something that's unique and something that, you know, tells everybody that, you know, you're entering Bryan, and because we're proud of Bryan, we're proud of what we have to offer, and we want to put a sign out on the highway both directions saying you're entering Bryan, and so they know where they are when they get here.
Sounds like a deal. Jason Barfley, thanks for the time this morning.
Right,
what else you got for us today?
Well, real quick, tomorrow is First Friday already, and so if you're coming down for the Bama game, don't forget about the game day shuttle on Saturday as well. You know, it's free. You can park in downtown for free in the surface lots, or for just $10 a day, you can have covered parking in the Roy Kelly parking garage. So come out and enjoy historic downtown Bryan tomorrow night at First Friday, and then go to the game for free.
Yeah.
And, of course, save the date for next Friday, which is October 13th, from 11 to 1 to support the United Way. Help out the city helping to support them while our deputy city managers grill hamburgers, and then our firefighters and police officers put together the fix-ins for you. So it's just $5 a burger, and that includes chips, a drink, and a cookie. And then we'll also have a Just Desserts auction, where we have been very fortunate to have more than a dozen different local bakeries and companies donate. some sort of dessert to be auctioned off. And again, all of those proceeds will benefit the United Way of the Brazos Valley. So for more information on everything that's going on with our special events, of course, go to briantx.gov. And if you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can see photos and additional updates.
All right. Sadil, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. Visit the folks at the City of Bryan on Thursdays on WTAW.
Here are five reasons why you need to have your next corporate retreat, company gathering, or holiday party at Wind Dancer Retreat. Number one, enjoy the natural beauty, the postcard-like view, while accomplishing your business-driven mission. Number two, Wind Dancer Retreat is a state-of-the-art facility with necessary technological and audiovisual equipment. Number three, Wind Dancer Retreat is eager to accommodate any reasonable request from 2 to 300. Number four, Wind Dancer Retreat is a short 20-minute drive from North Bryan. And number five, at Wind Dancer Retreat, there are on-site representatives experienced in handling events. They know everything about their site and can suggest ways to make your retreat run smoothly. Get in touch with Wind Dancer now to book your preferred dates. You have several options to choose from for a corporate retreat in the Brazos Valley. Why not choose Wind Dancer Retreat? Learn more at winddancerretreat.com.
In 1983, Epicure's Catering started designing special events and exceptional experiences. With Epicure's Catering, your menu options are limitless, and your meal will be perfect. Epicure's caters all kinds and all sizes of events, anything and everything. Epicure's offers a full bar service, delivery service, staffing, and tastings for your event. Epicure's Catering. Reach us at 979-695-0985. That's 979-695-0985. Epicure's Catering, where imagination meets reality.
About 4 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. All right, so let's see. I think we have Mike Leach is a former Texas Tech coach.
Yes.
Pretty easy interview.
Yes.
Anytime things are dipping in a Clip Howard show, he just calls Leach and says, would you help me out and try to make my show entertaining?
They're buddies.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're good old friends.
And Leach is, even before he, now that he's beaten USC, he may not talk to him anymore, but, anytime he said, my show is, he's kind of not doing well. Can you help me out? Leach will help him. Mm-hmm. And I think you found a...
I found a really, really great clip. And I won't play the whole thing. You'll get the point pretty soon into it. And, Zach, you'll have to help me on this. Oregon Stadium, is it Autzen?
Autzen.
Okay. Autzen. So Lindsey Joy tweeted this and said, finally, Coach Leach says Autzen is the loudest in the Pac-12. But are there louder stadiums he's ever coached in? This is his answer.
Oklahoma's louder. A&M's louder. Texas is on the bubble. Nebraska was definitely louder. LSU's louder. I never went to Alabama. We beat Alabama, but it was at Kentucky. Depending whether or not you add the cowbells, Mississippi State's comparable. Georgia's louder. Florida's louder. Definitely that one end zone at South Carolina's louder. Tennessee's louder. Little Rock, Arkansas, that's the loudest place I ever played. Entirely concrete structure. It's as if you had a football game.
So then he goes into Arkansas. But, yeah, he had a few that he thought were louder.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Leach doesn't pull any punches.
He doesn't.
Oh, my gosh.
If you ask him a question.
It was just so funny. And Chip actually retweeted it, which is how I found that
clip.
Okay,
all right.
Now, Alton holds 60,000 standing room only. The capacity actually is 54.
Okay.
So it's on the smaller end of a lot of those stadiums he was talking about.
And again, they're not going to make it any bigger, okay?
No.
They're not. They just... Don't.
My favorite is that one end zone at South Carolina is definitely louder.
Where they play Sandstorm all the time.
Right, exactly.
Of course, I think last time he played at South Carolina, that was before Sandstorm. But
yeah. And if you go and find him talking about meatloaf, I love it because he'll say, I don't like your meat. No, your mom doesn't make the best meatloaf.
Yeah.
It's not good enough for me to like. He talks about hot dogs being sandwiches.
Well, did you hear his quote after the win over USC? They asked him about, mm-hmm. Everybody coming out on the field and stuff. He said, yeah, it's like Woodstock, but everybody's wearing clothes.
Yeah, they had clothes on. Hello.
Has nothing to do with meatloaf. But that shuttle from Bryan is awesome. If anybody hasn't ridden it, that's the best way to get the ball game.
Yeah, thanks. It's true, and the reason is you're in counter flow. I mean,
yes,
you're
exactly.
headed north when everybody else is headed south.
I miss living in Bryan every home football game.
Yeah. And this is a good one to go to because there will be a lot of people at the stadium.
Yeah.
All right, so to get back to what I told you a little while ago, an asteroid the size of a small house
We're all going to die.
That's right. Is going to give Earth a really close shave next week. NASA really has been watching this particular asteroid since it was first discovered back in 2012. Like, they got one guy. They got Norman.
Norman's just keeping an eye on the asteroid.
Norm is back in the corner, and they just stop every once in a while and stop in and go, hey, Norm.
Norman, can Norm. We get an update? Yep.
How we doing on 2012 TC4, which is what it's called.
Oh.
2012 TC4. It's between 30 and 100 feet in size.
Between?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on what part of it is,
I guess. Expected to do its flyby next Thursday, October the 12th.
Norm's big day.
That's right. NASA is certain it won't hit Earth unless they're wrong.
unless Norm had a few too many dollar marks.
That's right. at Applebee's. It will be coming close, but by comparison to the moon, it's much farther away. It's 238,000 miles away.
Are we going to be able to see it, though?
Feel it?
I don't know. We'll have to see if there's waves as it goes by. Well, we'll keep you posted and have a report tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock, WTAW, College Station, Bryant.